myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
What it is, everybody. Welcome to episode 26 of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, is my favorite sack of shit.
Connor McDuff! That's my guitar. At the end of that, that was my guitar I was playing.
Like a little, like a solo out?
Yeah.
Is that?
Like Bill and Ted's like, excellent! That's my guitar.
Very cool, very cool. Now, for those who are maybe just joining us for the first time, I want to reiterate that we will be spoiling the movie that we review later in the podcast. And what movie did the listeners choose this week, Connor?
Focus. Focus.
Focus.
Focus.
Now, we put it out to a vote. We had three movies up for grabs. We had Unfinished Business, which was Vince Vaughn's new one. Seventh Son, which is the medieval fucking, I don't know, I didn't see it, but it has Jeff Bridges in it movie, and Will Smith's new film, Focus. And to be honest, I thought that Focus would have been a whitewash, but it really wasn't. It was kind of a race between Seventh Son and Focus.
Yeah, it was indeed.
Which, and I think it was more because the people who have seen Seventh Son were kind of saying, like, I had one guy, Stephen Batchelor, said that it is one of the worst movies he's seen in a long time.
Oh, shit.
And he wanted us to talk about it because he, you know, like we've said before, sometimes it's more fun to talk about the shit films. But it was a matter of one vote that that got Focus in, which was, it was nice to have a bit of a close thing. Unfinished Business was sort of chilling in the background. It only got a few votes, but I'm still actually kind of keen to see that one. It's got Dave Franco in it, and I like Vince Vaughn. So
the old DF, D Franks,
D Franks, who was at one point living in his brother's shadow, but I don't know. He's kind of coming out of that now.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. I really like him. I don't know if I like him more than James Franco though.
Nah,
he always holds a special place in my heart. That weird stoner. Fucking James Franco. But Dave is pretty talented as well, so Unfinished Business doesn't look too good, but does have Dave Franco, which is appealing. Oh boy.
Well, listen, I've been having some more exciting cinematic adventures down here in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
I just last night, actually, I went to a rooftop cinema at the top of this one of the big fucking skyscrapers in Melbourne, which is not, it's normally a rooftop bar, but they've been turning into a rooftop cinema of most
nights
during the week. And we went and saw Ghostbusters last night, which was fucking awesome. It was such a cool experience. Like, you're out in the open air. It's kind of cold, you know, it's not, they only run it up until April because then it gets too fucking freezing. Yeah. I'm assuming.
Fucking love Ghostbusters.
Yeah, isn't it? It's such a good movie.
So good. Like,
it is true. This man has no dick. Bill Murray in his prime. But yeah, you're out in the open air. There's like all the skyscrapers around you. There's actually like some sort of festival or something going on just down the street. So halfway through the movie, some fireworks started going off.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like, you know, it was pretty special. And also during the film, well, last night it was Ghostbusters Bingo. They have, you know, 9 scenes on a piece of paper, and you have to sort of cross them off as they come if you see them. And they're things like, you know, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and you know, We Came, We Saw, We Kicked Its Ass.
That's cool.
Of stuff. And you cross it off as you go, and then you win a prize if you're the first one. Pretty much anybody who had the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was fucked because that's the end of
the
movie.
Last thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and they pretty much, whoever won the bingo won it probably a quarter into the film, so.
That's funny.
Yeah, and that was really cool. And then I also, just the other night, Saturday night, I did my first ever cinema hop, or I guess like cinema crawl, kind of like a pub crawl, like, you know how you jump between clubs and stuff like that. I've never done that before in my cinema going life, but I went and saw Alien at the Astor Theater again. They were showing that on Saturday night, and then at 10:45 at another cinema called Nova Cinema, they were showing a film called The Room.
The fucking Room.
Have you seen The Room?
I've heard familiar so many bad things about The Room. Like, just so many.
It's been that movie that's been getting around the net for ages, and like Pete, you've probably pretty much seen the movie in the clips that get, you know, that have been, you know, circulating the net. But I'd never watched it for fully through until probably a week or two ago, and then we heard that this cinema called Cinema Nova monthly shows The Room
monthly.
I think it's like the first Saturday of every month or something like that. And it's like this interactive experience, which I'd heard of ages ago, but I've never actually done it. But there's all these rules, like certain things, like, you know, the certain characters repeat certain lines. And so you yell things at the screen, and then every piece of artwork in the film is spoon related. So everybody has like a bag of plastic spoons, and as soon as like a spoon shows up on screen, the fucking screen just gets pelted with these plastic spoons.
That's brilliant.
And it's, oh man, it's something else, eh? Like, you all of a sudden you're just getting pelted in the back of the head by all these fucking spoons, like a whole swarm of spoons just goes. And then throughout the film, people will, you know, go down the front and scavenge more spoons so they can keep throwing it.
That's
and then as you go along, people get bored and just throw spoons randomly. I may have accidentally clocked this dude in the front row right in the head.
Oh, shit.
It was kind of funny, really. It was a powerful throw. Do I just like pegged it and he's just ow.
That sounds hilarious. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, and even there's scenes in it where some of the characters just start randomly throwing like a football around. So there was these two guys who had a football and they started throwing it up the aisle. Like, you don't go to it to actually watch the movie, but the movie's so horrible that it actually makes it good.
That's brilliant.
It's one of the best things that it's getting up there with the Predator experience that I spoke about last week. It was fucking really cool. But, yeah, have you been watching any movies over the last week? You've been busy as shit.
I'm pretty fucking busy, to be honest. Uni's kicked back in, so I'm just in like my frenzy mode where I'm trying to do things before I go on my boat. But no, I don't think I've watched anything. I think the last thing I saw was Scary Movie, which I think I spoke about that I saw that.
Yeah, we did talk about that last
week. But yeah, I think that was the last thing I've seen. I saw a movie for uni called Matthew Sons, which is like this old as fuck 1940s or something, 1930s black and white film.
It's about Matthew Sons.
It's like a Sons of Matthew, I think maybe it's called. I don't fucking know. I don't care. It was just so bad. It was like just terrible. It was just bad. We were like, like, you're laughing in its face the whole way through it and like yelling at this film in this screening at uni. Like, it was,
what were you watching it for?
It was for a subject, Australian film, so it was like an old Aussie film that we had to watch, and we were watching it in the screening with everyone. Every time something dumb would happen, you would just hear the whole cinema go ooh, which is pretty funny. And then I, of course, my dickhead laugh, because I'm cynical as hell. Every time something would happen that I just thought was ridiculous, you just hear in the background, because I was sitting at the very back, and I just get lots of looks. And I was like, yep, don't fucking care. This movie is trash. Oh, man. But yeah.
So they went and found like the most horrible Australian film and showed
you. Yeah, let me introduce you to the subject by showing you a fucking terrible film. It's pretty much how it goes every semester.
Well, I guess it can only go up.
I know, but it's a horrible way to do it. Like, don't worry, the subject gets better. Trust me. No, fuck off. Like, so dumb.
Nice. All right. Well, in that case, shall we just move straight on to our review of Focus
Pocus? Let's do it.
Okay. Well, Focus follows the story of basically two con artists, Nikki, who's played by Will Smith, and what was Margot Robbie's character's name?
Jesse.
Do you remember? Jesse, that's it. Jesse. So Jesse is a kind of a wannabe con con artist. She tries to play Will Smith at the start of the film, and he's quickly calls her out on it and tells her that she needs a lot of work. And then she sort of follows him around for a bit, saying, you know, that she wants to learn from him. That, you know, and he's a bit reluctant at first, and then gives her a bit of a lesson in stealing shit, and basically just keeps stealing things off her body, like her ring, her bag, all while standing right in front of her. Eventually takes her under his wing, brings her into the crew, and they into this little underground, what would you say, corrugation of con artists. And they basically can ransack a room in a matter of seconds. You think that they're kind of falling in love, you know, maybe falling for each other, but then it ends up being all just one big play.
One big con.
Will Smith is pretty much using Margot in a pretty fantastic scene with an Asian gambler at a football game, where you think that Nikki is gambling away all the group's kind of winnings, earnings, I guess, like all their stealings. But it ends up being that he was just using Margot because she wasn't in on the con. It was more believable that she believed that he was, you know, fucking up, basically. So then she gets all shitty at him, and they part their separate ways for a while, until 3 years later, Nikki is working for a Formula One driver, a millionaire, who wants him to fuck over one of the other teams by pretending to sell some certain gadget. What is that gadget?
It just makes Chicago faster, it seems, pretty much.
Yeah. He's supposed to be pretending to sell this, what's it called? The DDXR?
EXR, I'm pretty sure.
EXR. The EXR. But in actual fact, he is conning both his he's actually more conning his employer. But throughout the times, we find that that Jesse is now potentially dating this millionaire, so once she comes onto the scene, it sort of throws Will Smith's character a little bit, and then what ensues is fucking some twists and turns, and you never know who's conning who until the very end, when it all ends up being one big con again. And it turns out that because Will Smith's character was actually his family kind of has a legacy of professional con artists. His father was a legend in the time, and then you eventually find out that his father was working with the millionaire kind of undercover, and they did another big con there where the father turns on him at the end.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, big twists and turns. You think that Will Smith's dead. He's not really dead. They get away with, they kind of get away together, and Jesse and Nikki end up together. Is that, am I right in saying that? Because you never really know who the fuck's con and who.
They do. Like, there's that scene at the end where Will Smith gets shot and she, like, admits everything and confesses everything, so...
Yeah. Well, she was still in the game, wasn't it? Because the whole thing is she says she's out of the game and she's...
She's in it, yeah.
In actual fact, was conning in her own way, and Will Smith's playing another con game, so it's like they kind of meet at the end, and they, when they get caught by... They get caught that they're actually conning this millionaire, and like I said, it ends up that Will Smith's dad was working with the millionaire and turns it over, and they take all the money, and
that's it.
Bam. End of the movie.
End of film.
Yeah. So, you know what? It's good to see Will Smith back in a film. I haven't really seen him in much of late.
What was the last thing he was in?
It was After Earth.
That was awful.
He was in, I think he was in that big scene at the end of Anchorman 2, I believe, but I don't really count that.
Yeah, no. After Earth, that was an experience.
You know, that was M. Night Shyamalan, that one. Fucking hell, M. Night. M. Night used to be like my hero.
Yeah.
Like, fucking Sixth Sense and Signs and The Village and all that shit were awesome. And he's just been on a steady decline since then. And After Earth was kind of his first director for hire job. And
yeah, it was bad. Really work out. Extremely bad.
Yeah. But yeah, Will Smith's kind of been just producing shit lately. Like, he produced Annie. He's been turning more to that, which is kind of like, I guess, but like he's actually like a really, really good actor. Yes. I really noticed that in this film. Like, his, whenever he's on screen, it's just like, he just brings such an energy to everything.
Yeah, he was cool as fuck in this movie. Like, his character is just so cool the whole way through it. You're just like, yep. Yeah. What about us? Always.
Yeah.
He's
I was just going to say, he's so smooth throughout everything that he does. Like, even, like, everything's so calculated in the way that he does things. You barely ever doubt him, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I was predicting the plot as it was happening, and it was very helpful because Will Smith is just a character you could trust the whole way through. Like, you knew almost at every point in the movie he had everything sorted. Like, you never really had any doubt in that man whatsoever.
Yeah, that's exactly it, which is really cool and it's really fun to watch. But I will also put it out there that kind of hurt the film a little bit for me. Because basically, as you get further into the film, you start to realize that he's got everything under control, like you said. So I never really felt like he was in danger, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, I really, really liked that scene, like the gambling scene in the with BD Wong.
Yeah.
In the the skybox at the football. Like, that was just such a really cool scene. And I almost would have, I like that it was a con, but I almost would have liked that, like, Will Smith's character to have a weakness like gambling.
Yeah.
Because the way he played that off was, just so fucking well. And I really liked the dynamic of him. Like, every time she'd pull him away, he'd be like, no, yeah, just 1 second.
Yeah.
Go back. He's like, no, I'm not going to let this cunt beat me. You know? Like I said, it was fun. Like, it's kind of weird. This whole film, I found it really hard to, because I was going along with it so well, and it was actually kind of refreshing to, at the very least, at the start of the film up until after the gambling thing, like, to not be able to predict what was going on, if you know what I mean. Like, you kind of, like, you feel like, oh yeah, they lure you into this false sense of like, oh, he's a struggling gambler.
Yeah.
A compulsive gambler and all that sort of stuff, and then they just fucking pull the rug out from under you, and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah.
And then from then you're kind of a little more wary, and you can start to pick, like, the twists and the cons and stuff from there a little more. But I felt that the structure of the film was so different to pretty much anything else I've ever seen, that was kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I kind of did predict exactly what was happening in that gambling scene before it happened. At least, like, because I just kind of saw it happen. I was just like, this guy, Will Smith's character is from at this point so far, been too perfect in every way. There's no way he's just going to fuck everything up immensely suddenly. Like, it just would not make any sense. And it totally wrecks the whole charm of the movie, which is that Will Smith is a smooth motherfucker, and the whole thing is that it just turns on you. So, like, I kind of saw it coming a bit. It was still awesome, though. Like, you got the big fat dude as number 55. I was like, oh, that's so fucking cool. But I did kind of assume that it was all going to be, like, in the end, Will Smith was gonna win it. But yeah, it was refreshing, though, because you didn't know how he was going to do it and you didn't know how everything was going to play out. But it kind of keeps that the whole way through it. Like, I still kind of thought that. And I think his weakness in the end was Jesse. Like, his weakness was Margot Robbie's character, because he starts getting distracted, like, he starts getting distracted all the time and getting fucked up and, like, because, not, like, fucking up, sorry, because he can't focus, he's too busy looking at Jesse and shit, which I thought was cool, actually, that he started dicking around, like, when he was with the Aussie race car driver, and he kept looking at her and shit. I thought it was great, I thought that was a good scene, but yeah, I thought Will Smith was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, I never true, like, I and even after watching the film, I'd never know how much he did falter. Like, I feel like everything was part of the game, even though he was obviously getting distracted by it, but because I don't trust the film, yeah. I don't trust anything that these people are doing. So it's kind of like, I never fully believed that he was 100% getting. And then as soon as I start to be like, oh, actually, no, he is. Then all of a sudden, hold on, no, it was all a play. It's like, fuck, you got me again. See, I did get suckered in. Like, I definitely got suckered in that gambling scene. Like, because even the way they set it up, it's because it's so smart how they do it, because they set it up with, you know, Will Smith's
Kevin Spacey lookalike, yeah.
Yeah, the Kevin Spacey light. when he says, you know, don't go gambling. Promise me you're not going to go gambling, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of setting it up for him to fuck up then, but it's also setting it up for the con. And I'm like, fuck! God damn it! You know, like, just so really well done there. And then from there, like, there's that bit where he kind of he breaks down at the in that little alleyway where he's having wine with Jesse's character, with Jesse, and then he sort of, you know, has a little breakdown, and you find out that she's playing him, sort of thing, yeah. And then it's kind of like, but then he's still playing her. We find out later. It's like, oh, fucking hell! Like, I just don't trust it. I didn't trust one bit.
I thought pretty much that he was into her and he did really like her, because that seemed pretty obvious the whole way through it. But at the same time, he needed to use her to get what he wanted. So he just kind of plays both. He's, like, really keen on her and stuff, and, you know, really into her and wants her and shit, and at the same time needs to crack this code. So he kind of just uses her at the same time. So it's a bit of both. But yeah. I can kind of see that he was into her. Like, that felt obvious to me. Like, he has this...
Well, I thought it was obvious to me, but like I said, I don't trust it.
Yeah.
But I do like the... I do... I quite liked the desperation that he went through to get her in some points, even though I don't know how true it was, but I feel that it was at certain points, because he was so, like, obsessed with her,
yeah,
and obsessed with making it up to her for fucking her over, yet he's still fucking her over again now. Fuck, I don't know.
He just doesn't give a fuck. It's good. And Margot Robbie was good as well. I don't have much faith in that woman, because she just seems like she would be like a pain in the ass in real life, but she was really good. Like, she was really good.
Hold on, you don't have much faith in her? What do you mean?
She's fucking beach babe from the Gold Coast with blonde hair and blue eyes. Like, I just feel like I look at her and I'm like, man, you would be such a fucking prick in real life. Like, you would be so fucking arrogant. And so, like, and her only other role was in Wolf of Wall Street, where she played, like, a skanky sort of girl. So I'm like, okay, what's your range of character variety here? Like, what are you going to do? But she was really good in this. Like,
yeah, well, you're absolutely right. She really, really stepped up her game here. Like you said, I've only seen her in Wolf of Wall Street as well, and it could have been very easy for her to fall into that, like, cliche character of the, you know, blonde bimbo chick. But she plays quite an intelligent blonde bimbo chick here. So,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, to be honest, I won't be surprised if she goes on and does, you know, more in-depth films and the like. But she's also going to go on to be Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that'll be cool as fuck.
Which I could... actually watching this film and watching her in here, I could see her as Harley
Me
Quinn.
Me too. Almost the same.
Which is really, really cool, because I actually... Like, Harley Quinn's one of my favorite characters, so it was kind of like, you can't fuck this up. And Margot Robbie is almost perfect casting. Like, it's one of the best casting choices I've seen in a long time.
And Jared Leto, and...
Will Smith is actually Deadshot in that film as well. So this is kind of like a preview of Suicide Squad.
Who else is in it?
Well, Jared Leto is the Joker. Who was Captain Boomerang? I can't remember. There's some other big names. Big name. It's going to be a fucking awesome movie. And that David Ayer, however you say it, is directing it.
Oh, sick. It's going to be fucking cool, guys.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, really good film. So, yeah, Margot, really good. Really good in this film. And actually, her and Will Smith played off each other quite well, even though Will Smith's probably like 20 years older than her.
Yeah, he's like near 50.
Fuck, he looks good for an old bastard.
He does.
He's cut as shit, that guy. He walks around with his shirt off half the movie as well.
He's got this fucking swagger about him. Like, he just walks in a scene, and I'm like, oh, my God. Walks with his swag, fucking rocking on up with his checkered suit. Doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, that's it. And he's got chops as well. So that's like, it's such a rarity to have, you know, such a good-looking dude and... actually be a fucking fantastic actor at the same time. Like that, you know, the scene at the end where he is strapped to the chair with Margot next to him. And they hold like a 30-second shot on him of him just like thinking shit over.
Yeah.
Do you know the shot I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a slow push in on him. And he's like, there's barely any actor that you could hold a shot like that on. And the crowd like was fucking going with it as well. Cause I saw this, a fairly late session on Friday night, I think it was. And, it was fucking chockers, man. Like, it was packed.
Yeah, me too. I was Sunday night and it was chockers.
Man, it's good to see, like, they're pulling in the crowds with this stuff. Like, it just shows, like, Will Smith does, like, especially with the chicks. Like, the chicks love Will Smith, which is understandable. But it's, my crowd was kind of, like, felt the awkwardness that he was feeling, and they kind of were, like, laughing nervously in that particular shot.
Yeah.
Which I kind of found quite funny. But no, it was, two really good performances there, and it was just put together really slickly. Like, it's just a really slick film.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Really fast paced. Really fast paced and really like just really like well edited.
Yeah, it was shot really well too. Like, it was shot really well. There's some really cool cinematography in this, and I really enjoyed it. Like the cinematography, I mean. Pretty much the whole way through, like, I don't really ever notice it. And this, I was like, wow, that's fucking cool. Like, just the way the lighting and stuff, they're in, like, next to neon, like, they're in a skyscraper, and you just see, like, this purple neon light reflecting off their face and shit. And I'm like, whoa, that's cool as fuck.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It was just awesome.
I really liked that.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of, it sort of had a bit of a, like, a Bad Boys tinge to it, like that. It's you know, the it's almost like a Bleach bypass sort of grading to it, which I really dig. I thought it works really well with Will Smith.
Yeah.
he's you know, he's Bad Boys as well, so I don't know, maybe that's his thing.
The writing was fucking awesome as well. Like, I just thought it was really well written. Like, the dialogue felt legitimate and it felt cool and fun.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel like it was cheesy or corny, even in the bits where it could be extremely cheesy and corny. Like, it just felt on point a lot of the time. And the structure of the plot was really good too. I didn't feel cheated. Like, there wasn't this, it wasn't one of these movies where there's like this grand, like you would expect it in like a con man film or a heist film. You'd expect this like grand, like, robbery at the end, you know, like the final hurrah. But they don't really have that in it, and I didn't feel cheated at all. Like, I was like, oh, this is a fucking cool ending.
Well, Well, his big haul is what you would probably call the grand robbery.
Yeah.
And he gets like 20 mil.
But he just, it doesn't, it just happens. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. It just happens and he's like, all right, see ya.
So you're saying like it's not a big like action piece where he goes into, you know, it's all a calculated plan and he pulls it off.
They kind of have that action piece like at the very beginning of the film with the Asian gambler. Like, that is what I mean. Like, that sort of scene would be what you'd expect to have the film finish on. Like, you know, like that sort of cool, like everything's going downhill and then suddenly click and Will Smith is the winner. But yeah, I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't mind it not being there.
Well, I think that's kind of, like, I don't know if I needed that particular scene in the end, but I would have liked his character to falter more. Like I brought up earlier, like his character in the end, there's never really, he never really does anything wrong. Like he never fucks up. Like, yeah, he kind of loses focus a little bit, like you're saying with when Jesse comes back onto the scene, but he's still on it. And like we were saying, that's really cool and really thing. But I think I would have liked him to fail a little bit more. Like just fuck up. and make, like, the times that, and you're saying you didn't feel cheated, like I kind of did a little bit, because the times that he's actually in danger, like he gets shot in the fucking chest, and then all of us, and but by that point I was like, well, there's definitely some way out of this. He's not gonna die. There's some, like, a blood pack on his chest or so, like there's something going on here.
Yeah.
And then it's this, like, I'm sure it's a thing, but fucking this bullshit thing of being able to shoot through certain groups and missile. They, like, fucking hell, this guy must be the best marksman in the world, because like that's a fucking tough shot. So I kind of did feel a little bit cheated there, but given the nature of the film, it's kind of warranted. So I wasn't angry at it. I actually found it really hard to fault this film to start with. Like, I was, when I was watching it, I was so sucked into it and so at the writer's mercy when it came to like all these twists and shit. Like I said, I could see them coming kind of, but like I never trusted it enough to know that I was right.
Yeah, no, I get you.
So I was kind of, for the first time in a long time, like I was just totally absorbed in the film and the characters and was willing to go with it as much as I, you know, just take me on this ride and I'm happy. Like it wasn't until like I knew I had to do this fucking podcast on it and, you know, do a review on it that I was like, fuck, I have to, now I gotta think of this critically now. And like, honestly, the biggest fault I can see is that Will Smith's character doesn't
falter. Just too perfect.
Yeah. But saying that, as just a member of the audience watching this and being taken by the story, like, fucking cool, man. Like, I just like that he's just a fucking cool cat.
I never had an issue with his character. In fact, I didn't have an issue with the fact that he was so fucking precise and calculated, because you still feel tense and you still feel like this tension and that it's suspenseful. You're like, what the fuck's gonna happen? Like, holy shit. And you know, there's that awesome, that fucking cool as hell scene where the henchman's putting on the fucking helmet and like puts on his mouth guard and just does his seatbelt up real casually and just fucking rams into him.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the bit from the trailer. That was like in the first trailer, that like it opened the trailer on that, and because it had no context, I didn't know what the fuck was happening or cared. Because remember, we were watching that trailer and being like, fucking, that doesn't look
good. Yeah, because it just like, kept fucking playing over and over. Like, it was on all the time, that fucking trailer. I was so sick of it. It was so annoying.
It wasn't until they brought out the second trailer that you actually started to get a feel of what the film was actually about. Like, I didn't really get much from that first trailer at all. I thought it was pretty rubbish. But in context now, like, that scene was really cool. It was just like a big setup of him going and buying a neck brace and getting in the car, like, setting himself up, got a mouth guard.
Helmet. And I love it. And then just fucking rammed into him. But I thought it was awesome. Like, Will Smith never bothered me. at all, like his character. No, none of the characters really bothered me. I felt like, you know, Will Smith wasn't... It's hard to explain because it just doesn't follow the basic conventions of majority of film. Like, you've got... It's pretty much a romantic comedy is what this film is. Like, in the end, it's a romantic comedy. It's about him and his newfound obsession with this girl and how this girl makes him kind of question everything he kind of stands for. And in the end, when he's about to get killed, he just admits that he was about to tell the truth. He was about to tell the bad guy the truth, and then he gets shot because of it. Gets fucking shot in the chest.
But was he really going to tell the truth? Like, I don't know. Like,
he was.
I just feel, I don't know. Like, exactly what you're saying. Like, his character's always too calculated with everything. I feel like that was part of the con.
Yeah, I felt like he was telling the truth. It to me, that's what it felt like when he I just felt it. I was just like, yeah, it would make sense for him to be honest at the moment because he's just like, he just doesn't give a fuck anymore. He's about to die and he goes on this rant about him. I don't know though, you're right, because Will Smith is just so fucking like cool in the movie. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't...
The main reason that I don't think he was because his dad was in on it. His dad is right there. Obviously, when shit comes... You know, when the shit hits the fan, he knows he's going to get shot here, and that's how he's going to get out of it. That's why I feel like it was all just a part of him trying to, you know, mush things up and, I don't know, get that millionaire guy's guard down. It's exactly it, though. Like, every time you try to decipher something in this film, you're kind of like, well, fuck, I don't know.
I don't fucking know.
Which isn't really a bad thing. Like I said, the critic in me wants to be like, well, fuck, it doesn't, doesn't follow the three-act structure. It doesn't, you know, I don't really see the hero's journey. And fucking, but, you know, no, fuck that. Like, I was entertained and like you said, yes, I was definitely tense. The tension was there for most of the film. Even though in the end, it kind of is all a con.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
I still went on the the ride that these filmmakers wanted to take me on, and I enjoyed that. It was, like I said, it was refreshing to see something that doesn't follow a certain structure.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was refreshing seeing like a blockbuster sort of film be different in a lot of ways. But yeah, it was just enjoyable, that whole premise, and Will Smith, he was good, and yeah, it was just good fun.
Well, it's a tough one to review, but it's like just exactly like we're doing right here. We're kind of reeling to extend this review right now. We're running at 40 minutes, and it's I don't really have much else to say. So do you reckon we should wrap this shit up?
Let's just finish it. Yep.
Well, give us your final verdict. What do you think?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun watching this. It was really good fun. I came in with low expectations, and I went out like thinking, wow, that was actually a lot better than what I thought. That was actually a good, fun, interesting film. Nothing too special, nothing too crash hot, but just good, fun, nice change of pace from the usual action nonsense. So, yeah, I fucking really enjoyed it. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, nice. Like, I came into it very much the same. Like, we've spoken about this film a little bit in the past and how we weren't really all that keen for it because we were sick of that fucking trailer. And it's kind of a bit of a pattern that's showing at the moment. Like, last week for Project Almanac, we both were like, yeah, but ended up being quite a good film. And we both enjoyed it pretty well. I feel pretty much exactly the same with Focus. Like, I went in with pretty low expectations. Like, I will say, after seeing the second trailer, it kind of gave me a little bit more hope. I really like Will Smith, so I knew his part would be, you know, pretty cool in the very least. Going in, like I said, I was just utterly absorbed in this film, and like, I'd actually had a pretty rough night rolling up to it. We'd me and my girlfriend, we just had this big fuck around of a night, and we almost didn't go, but the fact that we'd already like booked the tickets, and we're kind of like, fuck it, well, we may as well just go anyway. And it actually made the night better. It made it made
That's
everything
it.
Okay. Will Smith made everything okay for me. So it was, that's, and it's like, usually, like I've said, there's a lot of factors to what I'll score a film with. And, you know, how I go into a film definitely heavily factors on it. And I was pretty pissed off going into this film. And I was thinking, I'm just going to reel this. I'm going to hate this right now. And
you're going to fucking resent it.
And to be able to turn that shit around is a feat in itself. So I was really impressed with this film. Like you said, it was written really well. The performances were fantastic. The pacing is almost perfect. The only thing I can fault is the lack of danger that in the end that Will Smith's character is in. But saying that, that's part of the charm of the film. So I found this one really hard to review and rate. I think it's better than average, and it's kind of in that horrible bosses 2 state where I had a really good time with it, and it's one of those films that I don't really want to say bad things about. And I found it hard to find bad things to say about it, but the things that they are there are small problems. But I think to just your general public, it's not going to matter. They're just going to go in and have a good time and just fucking enjoy how much of a badass that Will Smith is.
That's it. He's the most, the baddest of asses.
So I give it a 4 out of 5.
Nice.
And would, yeah, highly, highly recommend seeing this one in cinemas. I feel like it'll be okay to see at home, but I feel like it really sparkles on the big screen. You know what I'm saying? So, if you get the chance, it's probably one of the better films out at the moment. So, or if not the best film out at the moment. So, go check it out.
Yes, I agree. Go check it out.
Okay. So in the coming weeks, Connor McDuff is fucking off on a cruise. Aren't you, Connor?
Woo! Yes, I am. Yes, I fucking am.
So, we're going to change our the next 2 episodes will be a bit different to what we normally do. There won't be any review for the movie coming out that week because Connor won't be here to do the review.
Suz!
We haven't had the time to do reviews in lieu either, so... and besides, there haven't really been that many good films to review ahead of time.
Yeah.
Which really kind of sucks because next week there's Chappie, I think it is, isn't it?
Chappie?
I'm really keen to see. But I'll be doing I'll do just a text review of the films coming out over the next weeks, and I'll post them up on the Facebook page for those people who need their review fix. But what we're going to do so next week we were thinking we might do an episode of like our favorite movies sort of episode, and not in the terms of like our top 10 or top 5 or whatever, because we've pretty much talked about most of our favorite films. Like my favorite film is Jurassic Park. What was yours again, Connor?
I got a lot.
I know Django was up there.
Django, Big Lebowski's up there, Empire Strikes Back is up there. There's a couple.
Yeah, so we talk about them quite a bit. So we thought we'd shake it up a bit and do like our favorite movies in certain categories sort of thing. So like, you know, favorite video game adaptions, favorite reboots, maybe favorite Adam Sandler film. I don't know. We'll come up with a list. If there's anything in particular that you would like to hear us, you know, hear what our favorite film is in a certain category, please post it on the Facebook page, and we'll work towards that as well. But what are we going to do in the next episode after that, Connor?
We're going to do a 2015 preview and talk about some trailers and stuff and that sort of thing. And
2015 tell you what preview. It's only 3 months late, but you know.
Well, fuck yeah. Who cares? I wanna talk about the coming year. It's early days, so it's still fine.
Well, there's so many good films coming out later in this year, like, you know, Star Wars and Jurassic World and Terminator Genesis are only like the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
So we haven't really done much previewing on the show of late. We used to do like a trailers section where we would talk about the trailers that we saw before the films, but we haven't done that in a little while, have we? So I thought we might as well just wrap it all up in one
big bloody thing.
That's it. So that'll be in 2 weeks. Next week will be our favorite categories, films in categories. We're going to shake things up over the next few weeks. And then after that, we'll get back to our regular scheduled programming.
Yes. Sounds. Well, I'm just really excited, to be honest, because I'm not going to fucking be here. So... Gonna be on my cruise boat. Gonna get really drunk every fucking night. I'm gonna drink a lot of alcohol.
Where's your cruise going?
It's going to the South Pacific Islands, I'm pretty sure.
So. And it's a 2 week cruise, is it?
2 fucking weeks, 12 days.
Nice.
Oh, my wallet. I'm so sorry.
But don't you pay for the cruise thing, and then most of the stuff on the cruise is already like.
I'm not even paying for the cruise. It's getting paid for by a friend.
Oh.
I'm going with him.
Fuck, that's a good friend.
Yeah, it's no shit. I'm fucking excited.
Keep him around. Shit.
Yeah, so I'm pretty damn keen. All I have to pay for is my alcohol, which I'm willing to do because, boy, do I drink the alcohols on the cruise. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Awesome. Now, I've always wanted to go on a cruise. I'll have to get around to it someday.
Do it. Invite me, pay for me. Oh, man, good fun.
All right, well, let's leave it at that. And, Connor, you have fun on your cruise, and we will see you, we will hear you in the coming weeks, but we'll see you when you get back.
Sounds great. Play the music, David.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Focus, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Sympathy for the Devil is performed by the Rolling Stones.